I mentioned it's Orthodox Easter or Pascha. I also want to extend my wishes for a happy and blessed Passover to our Jewish friends. Just a reminder that inventor Aaron Murakami will join us in the second half of the program, and we've posted some videos where you can see a demonstration of Aaron's plasma ignition system. Just go to coasttocoastam.com, go to the homepage, and you'll find the video on the carousel. There are three videos, six demonstrations, and they're titled Murakami Plasma Videos. What if you could control your heart rate, your blood pressure, your respiration rate, your core body temperature with your mind? Dr. Richard Allen Miller can teach you to do that. He can teach you what he taught Navy SEALs. Would you find that useful? I think you might. Stay with us on Coast to Coast AM. Dr. Richard Allen Miller stays with us, the author of ESP, Induction Through Forms of Self-Hypnosis, Native Plants of Commercial Importance, Power Tools for the 21st Century, which we're touching on right now, the Encyclopedia of Alternative Agriculture, the Magical and Ritual Use of Aphrodisiacs, the Magical and Ritual Use of Herbs, the Magical and Ritual Use of Perfumes, the Modern Alchemist, the Potential of Herbs as a Cash Crop, Workbook 1, Power Tools for the 21st Century, Workbook 2, Can You Live Off the Grid for 30 Days? So back to power tools and super soldiers. Now, I mentioned this to you, Rick, I think a couple of weeks ago. I recently interviewed on my other program a gentleman out of Holland by the name of Wim Hof, a.k.a. the Iceman. And he's someone who is able to control his core body temperature. He's run marathons in the Arctic Circle in barefoot, nothing but shorts. He can survive extreme temperatures, heat, cold, oxygen deprivation. So he's basically doing now what you were on about 45 years ago.
Yeah, that's about right. That's actually correct. And there were and have been Sherpas even back then that were walking up Mount Rainier barefoot. That's why we studied them. By the way, I need to put a small caveat in. I just really appreciate you a lot, Richard. Regarding cold fusion, I'm making a postscript. I want everybody to hear this. Basically, if you're going to talk about cold fusion, you must call it an open system rather than a closed system. And the thermodynamic laws are only applicable for a closed system. And basically, this would be a multiverse. You then would use a Helon model and discuss what information is, and then go to knot theory, not string theory or quantum foam, but using knot theory, and especially Lewis Kaufman's work, and then, of course, Benditti. And
all right. We're going to touch on that, actually, closed systems and open systems,
yes,
with Aaron Murakami a little later.
In my new book, that's called Rock the Casimir, or Adventures in Time Travel.
Yeah. Rock the Casimir, with apologies to The Clash.
Well,
thank you for that.
About topology and Roger Penrose and the geometric universe. It is about geometry as a more primitive form of information, and the way neurotransmitters lay out and open and lock certain doors in the way they pass information as a metaphor.
All right. Now, I want to talk about the protocols,
sure,
for controlling. And I mean, how does Wim Hof do it? How do you do it? How does one control autonomic nervous functions like heart rate, respiration, core body temperature, all of these things? Give us some instances.
When you hear blood rushing through your eardrum, you hear a high-pitched whistle that may or not be insects. These are the sounds in your body that you have chosen to ignore, like that stone on the ground. You're looking at the plant, but you're not looking at the rocks. You're not looking at the soil, you're looking at the plants. You're looking at different layers of information, and you discriminate. It isn't about seeing, it's about filtering. And when you realize that that's what your senses are, they're not senses at all, they're filters. Now you can understand that there's other things going on that you have put below a certain level of consciousness as unimportant and not necessary for your immediate intent or, moment. And those are there, they're being registered, they're part of a whole vast system of structured water memory systems that you have access to, and what you're doing is you're ignoring that sound, what you might call tinnitus or the shabad. You know, it's talked about in the appendishad. So there are sounds in your body that you're listening to, and once you focus on that, it's different for each person. Once you can catch that sound, now you can manipulate certain autonomic functions like histamine response to allergies, and or so you're not allergic anymore, so that you're not this anymore. You can put your basically, like allergies is your body over responding to a stimulus. That's all it is. And what you want to do is slow that release of histamines down like you would a snake bite. And you can do that with a tourniquet around your neck. I don't recommend that one. That's kind of weird. You know, but what you can do is slow the blood flow, that whistle in your ear that we were talking about, down so you can hear it slowly going down in frequency. And now you're going into delta sleep. That is how it works. It sounds. I got so good back then, before I started training others, I had to do it to myself, right? So I got to the point where I could, with a electromyograph, they would put it on my arm so I could flinch a muscle because I couldn't speak when they would ask me a question when I was in delta state, somewhere around maybe 5.5 cycles. I was down past dream states. I was down into deep sleep, and yet I was conscious and able to answer questions auditorily coming to me while I'm sound asleep.
Well, the benefits for a soldier, obviously, are obvious. If they fall into, let's say, icy waters.
I was at sea for 2 days in the Bering Sea when a sub missed its pickup, and that saved my life.
You were in the icy water for 2 days.
Mandrake the magician, and I went right straight down in to stasis, and when they found me, I was blue, but I'm still here. It saved my life. Exposure.
All right, let's say for someone who is not likely to fall into icy waters, let's say, for example, someone has Parkinson's, and can you train that person to modulate or their dopamine levels in order to control symptoms, for example?
They're using Ibogaine and other kinds of new drugs that will unlock certain parts of the way the brain functions, which is not site-selective like for opiates. Like, for example, gambling and spousal abuse. Those are considered addictive, and yet they don't have site selections. And now the French are suggesting that it's a PGO wave in the occipital region of the cerebral cortex, that once you can focus in the directional alpha shift, you can actually change habits, behaviors, and addictions, including spousal abuse and gambling. That means that all of these phenomena, pedophile, drug addict, is a learned behavior in the way children are watching their parents and how they did it.
Wow.
Okay. That's parasympathetic. And what you want to do is regenerate that. And there are reboot drugs now that they're discovering. Ibogaine is now being studied at 11 different universities. I watched them take a 16-year IV user off of Amsterdam Park in a 30-hour nightmare of clinical it had to be a clinical section. They can't just do it. It doesn't work like that. And what happened is at the end of that, end of the 30 hours, that kid had no withdrawal. And when he lit up in his outtake, debriefing, was lighting up a cigarette, he looked at it, put it down, because he doesn't smoke anymore either. Those are the little rituals that we do every morning when we flush the toilet and we have to put toothpaste on the toothbrush before the toilet clears. These little games we play, this way I'm going to walk out this way because this way I'll get laid, and if I walked out that way, I won't. You know, that those games are what set up our behavior patterns and who we are and our addictions. And it takes 3 months of active participation. That's what Crowley said. Three periods of the moon to change a habit. You have to be proactive in changing those sounds. And that's, you know, reminding yourself with a refrigerator note saying you're fat. Got this little note there reminding you you're trying to keep it together. And those are the mindful part of training the mind and the body to function as a tool. And that's why I would be called an avatar. I'm not here. I'm habiting a mechanical golem, if you will, kind of thing. It's not a golem, but you get the idea. It's not me. It's a shell I use, and it has ways of communicating to me if I'm misabusing it, which I am all the time, and we all of us are. We're here, physical thing, to be sick spiritually. We don't have a clue. The higher self, usually an androgynous, is your future. And
okay, let me get back to neurotransmitters here, Rick, so I can keep this on the rails here. The neurotransmitters.
The neurotransmitters are how you move that intent. I've decided I want to do something, and I fire my heart to fire it up a little higher and bring my heart rate up. The neurotransmitter is what takes that thought and moves it from here to there.
How about, for example, endorphins? Can you regulate the flow of endorphins so that you would be impervious to pain?
Endorphins, not endorphins. Yes, endorphins, and that they are the opiate sites of dopamine and pleasure. There's other sites for other things. The chill, for example, that thing that goes up your body, that neurotransmitter is N-N-dimethyltryptamine and is the neurotransmitter that gives you a sense of God. That's why Rick Strassman calls it the spirit molecule. It is that is how God most likely communicates to us, is using that neurotransmitter. It's not as high up as ketamine. It's down a little bit. It's on a more primal level, but it's up past the first four, which is archetypal. And that's where you and I are the same, which means if I know how this works, you automatically have that in your database because we are the length, girth, and width of the walrus. Cuckoo, ka-choo. And
that's all right.
How it works.
All right. You're good to take some calls, Dr. Miller.
Imagining. There's a reason I do, because the random call has a purpose for where the end of this information dialogue is going to your higher self. That's how
works. Let's go to the higher self of James from Kingman, Arizona, west of the Rockies. Good morning. Welcome to Coast AM, Jim.
Thank you. Right on, brother. Can I mention two things? I was wondering if back in the 70s in grade school, we used to go to Virginia Beach and Myrtle Beach, and well, I like to spend some time at Edgar Casey's ARE and, you know, in this ESP enhancement class, they had this envelope test, and I used to just, you know, I'd pick up my pen and sketch so fast before I could think, and I'd get mad if I thought, and I threw my pen down and asked for more paper and asked me what I was doing, so I showed them, you know, and then I showed them I'd trace my sketch back. You know, I told him it was a subconscious sketch. And I trace it back, and then I just draw a picture out of it. Anyway,
the picture and what you drew is how your specific future timeline is trying to talk to your present and changing who you are in the past. Like, let me give you the example from me. When I did it, it wasn't Navy SEALs. It was called SEAL Corporation. And today, it's now got a big modern urban myth about SEAL units and how they are supermen. But in fact, when I was doing it, that didn't even exist. And that's how your artwork is not so much for the public, but is a way of your dialoguing with yourself.
Can I mention something?
Go ahead, Jim.
Keep a diary. Okay. You must think on your feelings when you do that. It will be in the feelings, not the object. It will be in the feelings that your higher self will be communicating to you in the present, your future.
All right, Jim had a follow-up. Go ahead, Jim.
Okay, there was one time I got in the neck is a king cobra venom, and Well, I lost, you know, I was hooked up in intensive care, and this is down in Phoenix. Anyway,
Wait a second. Did you just say a king cobra bit you in the neck?
It was an extinct type of scorpion with king cobra venom, and they don't know how it got there.
The Edgar Cayce Foundation is in Phoenix right now with Mike Mandeville, my roommate back in 1970. He runs.
All right, but I got to hear more about this king cobra bite.
Okay, well, anyway, the doctor didn't know what it was. He came back 11 hours later, but I had left my body 11 times. It was the only way I could survive. But each time I came back into my body, when I drifted too far, my brain waves, whenever they came back on, they were not just four waves, but there were two sets of four. First, they were completely parallel, and then they settled into two sets of four, alpha, beta, delta, and theta, and then they merged into one single set. I just thought maybe you might like to know that. I watched it 11 times in that experience. And then anyway, they came up from the University of...
How about even
experimental...
Hang on, Jim. Let Dr. Miller respond. Okay, Jim. Let Dr. Miller respond. Go ahead.
Yeah, how about check out Eben Alexander's Proof of Heaven? There was a neurosurgeon that died and had a near-death experience like you're talking about, and we'll discuss the concept of brainwaves. What you're doing is resetting certain timelines. That's basically, and that is called a P300 wave. And it's done with a functional MRI. There's only one, I think, now Bethesda, I think. But that functional MRI will measure what's called a brain fingerprint. Your brain pattern is a fingerprint exactly like your fingerprints on your hand. It's unique. And what you're doing is resetting the uniqueness of ego and who you are in distinguishing yourself from me.
All right, Jim, thank you for the call. Doc, we are coming up on another break, but I want to start the conversation now, and we'll get into it again after the break. And that has to do with, we touched on time dilation and ketamine and so forth. But
yes.
When you were training soldiers, or even now in your power tools for the 21st century, are you able to train people how to alter... I think I know the answer here, but it's kind of rhetorical. Alter their perception of time, because I'm thinking as, for example, a martial artist, a boxer.
Yes, yes.
That would be very useful to
commonly,
me.
Yes.
Let's start there.
Sacred and profane. It is when you go closer to your true purpose, you fall into what is called timelessness, like lovemaking. It becomes timeless and is sacred, as opposed to the profane, where are we there yet?
We are there yet. We're coming up at the break. We'll continue this conversation on time dilation and much more with physicist Dr. Richard Allen Miller right here on Coast to Coast AM. Don't go away. You can listen to my weekly syndicated radio program, The Conspiracy Show, live on Zoomer Radio right here in Toronto. Or on one of our growing list of affiliate stations across North America, just go to strangeplanet.ca, strangeplanet.ca for more information. And you can also download the free Conspiracy Show app and listen anytime, anywhere. Dr. Richard Allen Miller, how to time travel when Coast to Coast AM continues right after this. Welcome back to Coast AM. Richard Serrett coming to you from Coast's Toronto affiliate Talk Radio AM 640. Just a reminder, top of the hour, inventor Aaron Murakami will be with us to share insights into his plasma ignition system. Right now, Dr. Richard Allen Miller stays with us, and we'll get to your phone calls as well in just a moment. I did want to go back before the break. We were talking about changing your perception of time. I remember as a child watching the great Muhammad Ali and the way he would avoid punches and you know, some of the great martial artists. Is this an ability they have, is to somehow change their perception of time, to slow things down?
Yeah, you do that with breath. That's the first and last thing you do coming into and exiting this universe. And it's breath control. And they talk about it in India. It's a science. And basically, when you're in extreme danger, sometimes your consciousness will shift to a place where everything slows down and you have all the time in the world to and make decisions on how you have to twist your body. I first encountered this doing a climb in Washington State. It was a class 4, and I was going across an ice field, and a gust of wind blew me off the cliff, and I fell over 100 feet into rocks. And what I did, everything slowed down for me, and I was able to twist my body and prepare it for just before I hit of going into deep shock. My dad dug me out. I was fine. Everything slowed down, and from then on, I realized that it was possible. Then, after having 18 years of Hung Gao training, I met a Tai Chi master from Victoria, BC, up on Vancouver Island. He came down to Dr. Bastier's class and used to teach Tai Chi every week to martial arts. And he talked me special on how to change my perception of time with breath control so that I was experiencing it as Tai Chi, where in fact I was moving as Hung Gao. And I didn't experience that. And that was a tool where you can teach how to train martial arts to a point of paranormal.
Now, if people read this, if people read this in Power Tools.
And not only is it possible, I can do it now at any moment. I can change my perception of time with my breath. Now, that's going from the profane into the sacred. There is a place which is called the moment. And when you're in the moment, that is where you're literally outside space-time, where your future and your present is dialoguing and changing the cavitation ball of your past, which is a primary wave.
Okay, let me get to a caller here, Rick. Let me get to a caller. People are being very patient, and we'll go to the first time caller line. And Chuck is in Las Vegas. Chuck, good morning. Welcome to Coast.
How are you doing tonight?
Very well, thank you.
Yeah, I had a simple question about like tall whites here in Las Vegas, and just wondering if they, you know, taught anybody in special forces or gave anybody technology that was beyond the human comprehension.
All right, so we're going off the board to talk extraterrestrials, Dr. Miller. What do you know about the tall whites?
Well, I have a memory of Area 51, Broom Lake, at level 8, where I was called in, not part of my regular thing. I was called in because something requested my presence, and I have no idea what it was. I have never done anything like that. What happened was he wants to know about my close encounter with a tall alien. I don't know what it is. Let me say what happened. I was left in this room with a pile of top secret documents, of which I just started grabbing them and reading them and absorbing it. 1 hour later, the door opened, and there was this entity across the room that was possibly 7.5 feet tall, and she felt feminine. And this is what led me to do the studies in synthetic telepathy, because I couldn't understand how I could hear voices in my head that was no sound. And this, what happened next is I remember feeling safe. I remember that she had a specific thing she needed to do with me. I had no idea what it was. And I was there possibly 3/4 of an hour with cameras. There were several cameras on me, and neither of us moved. We were just there. I was at one end of the room, the other. And that's where my memory starts to, I can't get it. It's there. I can't get at it. Now, that time, we were experimenting with BZ and what was it called? Alavad or something that was something that would change the jump potential between neurons so that you could block memory. CNV, contingent negative variation. I don't know. Something happened. I've had 3 events in my life where I can't get at specific memories. I have no idea why. And I can get at almost anything. I'm getting older. You know, I sometimes can't remember, oh, God, who sang that song? And then I will remember at some point because my mind won't give it up. It'll keep working it until that memory open again. It's like using them frequently keeps them exercised, like running or swimming. If you use your mind, it stays fresh. And according to Ward Dean, in the biological aging mechanisms, he's a Surgeon General for the Marine Corps, he has stated that all aging processes are reversible. And I'm 72 now, and my memory today is as clear as when I was a child, or more so. Now, I've done some memory-enhancing drugs over the years, like vasopressin and Diener and Hydrogene sublingual. And those things will help your memory, but I only had to use them once when I was in my 50s, and now I'm in my 70s. And
what about food? What about superfoods? Because I know you talk about this in Power Tools. Superfoods, not only to enhance...
physical pain. If you want an intellectual giant, there's a metaphor, the physical plane. It's like going to a fat doctor. What's wrong with that picture? A doctor that's fat isn't going to be able to do anything for himself. How could he help you? That's the metaphor you must use in everything that you approach in your life. And a teacher can only take you as far as they themselves have been. And so that's why you advance and study under a number of different people. So you have a broader, you know, spectrum of sight.
Right. Let's go to the wild card line. Wayne is in Chicago. Wayne, good morning. Welcome to Coast to Coast.
Good morning. Fascinating guest. Richard, that is very peculiar, funny that you brought up Muhammad Ali, because I just learned how to tweet not too long ago, and I was tweeting to him and telling him that the thing that fascinated me the most about him was his ability to slip punches, just like you
said. There you go.
That's very fascinating that you said that.
But well, anyway, I'm guessing Dr. Miller isn't surprised.
I'm sorry?
I'm saying that you're probably not surprised by that interesting little synchronicity that Wayne just shared with us.
Muhammad Ali obviously was able to do things nobody else could do. His dance, just his movement, his dance, that in itself was way beyond anything anybody else did, the dance. I was impressed.
Wayne, did you have a follow-up, a question?
Yes. I was watching a show a few years ago with Dan Aykroyd. It was his show. And the show was about a government team, U.S. government team. And they would concentrate on things like coast-to-coast subject-type things. Like, for instance, they track down a werewolf who killed a state trooper in Indiana, for instance, things like that. But in particular, what I want to ask now is, they had some kind of machine where they could see things before they happened. And one of their colleagues was getting ready to be killed in a car. But they saw the car accident before she actually got killed, and they saved her. I want to ask your guest, do you know anything about that, what I'm talking about? Because Dan Aykroyd had it on one of his shows.
Sci-Factor Chronicles.
A radiesthesia is what that's called in extrasensory perception, where you use an external device to communicate information to consciousness, like precognition and those kinds of event horizons. Basically, you use the tarot cards, the bones, the I Ching. It was using external devices to communicate information you already had. Now, with algorithms in the terms of setting up an artificial intelligence, we now have gotten to the place of Minority Report, where they can see when a crime is going to be committed before it happens. Now, that place is called Jade Point 2 software, and now there's some new things out of Clifford Algebra, and of course Cliff High is using Goertzel's Arns Algebra. These are algorithm things that take chatter on the internet, distill it down for most probable, and actually can predict a crime in the boroughs of New York City 28 minutes before it occurs. They don't know who's going to do it yet. They know it's going to happen at this location. That kind of thing.
All right, now, Wayne, thank you for the call. Let me just ask you something, Rick, about the book, Power Tools for the 21st Century. Now, these things that you're talking about, they must have taken you decades to perfect. If I'm reading that book, I mean, how am I going to be able to put these things into practice without, you know, working with, you know, an expert, someone like yourself?
Well, there's today they're off the shelf. You know, biofeedback was, we had to make individual single gain amplifiers. That later became John Fluke for the Boeing company, by the way. That single gain amplifier, that means it could go down to microvolts without any kind of noise. It was a clean single gain amplifier. It was a right on target. It could measure brain waves off the scalp at 10 to the minus 6 volts. It was accurate. And didn't vary a lot with drift and other kinds of creepy stuff. And once we had that, now they're off the shelf and they have all kinds of gizmos and enhancements and things like that. Brain drivers, frequency following function, toys to enhance the quality of meditation. I was able, using brain drivers, to achieve what Persinger called bliss states, you know, measured in yogis and people that have been meditating for 40 years. I was able to do it in 4 years using brain drivers. It wasn't as clean as a 40-year meditator, but now that I've been now doing that for 40 years, I've got that part down cold. And when I say that, that's where you start, training the mind, not letting it wander, being able to bring it into a certain altered state. Now, in the ESV book, I equate 102 different physical measurements on the body related to the depth of hypnosis. Over here is tweaking, over there is paranoia, up here is over da-da-da, here's your best area for guessing. There are windows of between this state and that state. There's 102 different physical body measurements that will allow you to navigate where you are in your depth of hypnosis. In Power Tools, the Chapter 8 has a system that with John Curtis Gowan developed on the development of the psychedelic individual, having nothing to do with psychedelics. It had to do with enlightenment, and it was an ontology of mystical states. And there's
a different state of different cosmic consciousnesses. All right, let's go to a different state, east of the Rockies, and Dan is in Manassas, Virginia. Good morning, Dan. Welcome to Coast.
Yes, first of all, to show my thanks to you, Dr. Miller, because I've been tapping into your mind for years. I am a sightless empath, synesthete, and polymath. And it's only going to take a few seconds. We can use it.
Thank you. No, I love it. I love it.
And this is, I have a gift for you. And Richard, this will be the first time ever on Coast to Coast AM that anybody has ever done this. I'm going to give you a code, Dr. Miller, that you can use to receive from me anytime for the rest of your life a hologram. You have my permission to tie in to everything from my brain to the resonance matrix of my gut to interdimensional higher self, and I'm going to give you this code and then we can go from there. It is heart, diamond, spiral, sphere, then it's star.
Let's start all over. I'm going to write these down. Well, could you send me?
Yes, sir. Tell me when you're ready.
Okay, I'm ready.
Okay, heart.
Wait a minute. Yeah, okay, yes.
Diamond.
Yes.
Spiral. Sphere. Then star, S-T-A-R. Then star. Then era.
What was after star?
Yeah, two stars, then era, then era, then 21, then quantum, then torsion, then harmonics, convergence. Now, I have used this system using what these days people call non-physical patterning software via micro constructs of the Mobius figure eight energy storage loop for both digital and analog and combination means. Now,
well, what you're doing is the original line symbols and then moving to an octave.
Yes. Yes, sir.
All right. I was a little concerned you might be unleashing some sleeper cell somewhere.
Yes, I work with brain
drivers. We're on the same page.
I work with brain drivers using both what people can call the mental equivalents to a variety of matters, and I also use audio feedback loops.
Have you heard of Kelly Howell and her work with Kundalini using brain drivers?
No, I haven't, sir, but what I want you to do...
The mind, and she's out near you in, I think, in Taos, either Albuquerque or Taos, New Mexico.
Okay, all right, Dan, good luck with that. I got to let you go, Dan. Dr. Miller, we are just about out of time.
Her stuff, because it uses that symbolism exactly for Kundalini, and she's using brain drivers on it. I know exactly what you're doing.
Okay, Dr. Miller, we're just about out of time here.
Plus.
All right, Dr. Miller, how do people get a hold of Power Tools for the 21st Century?
Okay, so I have primary websites. RichardAllenMiller.com is my website, ALAN, RichardAllenMiller.com. Or you can go to Facebook at DocRam.com. That's my blog, and both have bookstores. And that bookstore is at Oak-Publishing.com.
Oak-Publishing.com.
Yeah, the Organization for the Advancement of Knowledge. I kept my old think tank from the early 70s, and
Excellent.
It's now my publishing house for lectures, writing, and research. And
always a pleasure. Thank you, Dr. Miller. Until we meet again. Aaron Murakami on the other side, the plasma ignition system. Oh, you don't want to miss this one. Back with more of Coast to Coast AM. My name is Richard Serra. Thanks for hanging out.